Advices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. You're listening to episode number 96. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and this program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You could use our code ADVICES at checkout for additional savings and to let them know that you support the programs. Thank you to everybody who has been using the ADVICES code. It is much appreciated and it makes a big difference. All right, guys, the Arnold Classic weekend is over. The Advices Radio Bodybuilding Nerds Arnold approved first ever in bodybuilding live podcast event took place. We'll have that coming out soon. It was an awesome weekend, and we have a new Arnold Classic champion, Brandon Curry. And Brandon looked amazing. It was definitely his best look yet, which says a lot because he already had improved so much in the last contest. We talk about what him and his coach Abdullah had done as far as water manipulation and carb up. We get into the specifics. I know that I've heard people say that nobody wants to know about how many cups of rice somebody ate and what they did with water, but I'll tell you what, I find that stuff fascinating, and I think that we need to bring it back to bodybuilding podcasting. I want to know what the Arnold Classic champion did to get the look that he had. We talk about what Brandon will be doing with his time now that he is home from Oxygen Gym for a little while and spending time with family, doing photo shoots, training videos, stuff like that. And we ask him the big question that everybody is going to be wondering. What are Brandon Curry's strategies going to be going into Las Vegas to challenge Sean Roden for the next Mr. Olympia title? Stay tuned. All right, guys, welcome back to Advices Radio. And up next, back with us after his Arnold Classic win, Brandon Curry. What is up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just doing real good, man. Got back home, trying to get settled in.
Wow. Wow. So you packed up when you left Oxygen. You did not plan to go back. Basically, you were done. When you came to the Arnold, you were then going straight home and staying for now, right?
Right. I brought all my luggage that I would have out there for the months to be out there, and I just brought it all back, man, and now I'm back home. So yeah, no plans to head right back out.
Kind of a weird question for you out the gate. How much luggage does one take for a 12-week prep?
I need at least two big carry-ons, not carry-ons, but check bags.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe a couple carry-ons. And that's pretty much what I work with, because I use probably a very large duffel bag and then your typical case roller bag. So
basically, like, that's nothing, you know, for 12 weeks of life, you know? I mean,
right, but it's mostly gym clothes, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's all you really need, right?
Right.
Right on, man. So going into this, I had such a good feeling about you, and I am still ecstatic just getting you on the line now. I'm so freaking pumped, man. It sounded like your coach, Abdullah is his name, right?
Right.
It sounded like he was pretty confident himself, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's like I said, like he's one of my number one supporters, man. He believes in me, you know, before a lot of people even recognize it. Wow. I think in an interview after it, he said, I said, so what was it about Brandon that made you want to work with him or whatever? He says, well, you remember Phil Heath came out, and Brandon came out like the year later in 07. He says, when I saw Brandon, I thought, oh, I think he's better than Phil Heath.
Wow.
So that's what he told Dave. I was like, wow, I never heard that before.
That has to put a lot of, that has to put a just a really good feeling on you. Just knowing that your coach believes in you so much, man, that's really cool. I got a chance to shake his hand and tell him congratulations backstage. He was carrying your trophy around as you went from a different media source to media source to interview. I could tell, man, he was really proud. So you're back home now. You're settling in. I want to get to what you're doing next, but I've got to ask you, how did it feel? How did it feel? Let me ask you first, before we even get to the night show, prejudging. Were you confident after you went through prejudging?
Yeah, after I went through prejudging, I was pretty confident. It's like you kind of get the vibe, you know. Certain people get the vibes, and when you start getting advice, like simple advice, backstage from certain people, then you know that things are going in your favor, you know, because if they're not saying anything to you, then you kind of lost. But if people actually communicate with you, that means, you know, you're on the edge of something. So I got, you know, a couple of advice about, you know, make sure I'm holding some different poses and, you know, what my advantages will be as far as, you know, keeping the midsection tight, focusing on those things, those little things that would edge me out in the battle. So I knew I had a good impression, and I was battling well. It's just some things that I needed to focus on to make sure I kept the advantage through the posing. So, I mean, that gave me a lot of confidence. So by the time we got back to the room and relaxed, it was just more like fuel up, just eat up, make sure I don't go flat, drink a little bit. And by the night show, man, my package was even fuller and drier. So it was like, man, it kind of closed the door from that point.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So when you were at prejudging and you started getting this advice from, you know, certain people that you obviously respected, that had to let you, so you're saying that let you know that you're in the running for this thing, that this is, you're like, you're battling, you know, you're up at the top there. I had heard a couple people say that they thought Bonick had it, but I'm going to tell you right now, VJ and I both knew, I knew in my heart, man, there was no way that you weren't going to take it. I think that, you know, with all respect to William Bonick, because he's an amazing competitor, and obviously, you know, he kicked total ass last year. He looked so good, especially, you know, as the show went on. I don't think he brought quite the level of conditioning that he needed to edge you out. That was at least my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I respect him as an athlete a lot, and I thought he brought a really good package.
Yeah.
But I knew what I was going to have to do. If my conditioning was on point, I knew that I was going to have to, you know, beat him structurally. And I had to use that to my advantage. So everywhere I presented myself, I wanted to present myself to that advantage to the judges, because I knew that's where I could edge him out for certainly, as long as my conditioning was on point.
Yeah, while we were sitting there, VJ was pointing it out to me. We were watching, you know, pose by pose. I was trying to be critical and look at both of you. And I thought that if he were to beat you on anything, it may have been the lat spread, rear lat spread, because I felt like, you know, just he has such a strong shot there. But honestly, man, everything else, I think that you had him, including the crispness of your legs from the side, was unreal, man. That looks so good.
Yeah, man, it was a couple surprises when I was looking at some photos, some things that I was actually noticing and going through the videos. So, like I said, we were very, very happy with the package that was brought, and it's just more motivation coming into the Olympia for 2019 to make some even more improvements.
Hell yeah. And now, are you just going to shut it down and wait until the Olympia, I take it, from here?
That is correct, man. I will, you know, spend some time here, quality time here at home.
Okay.
You know, make sure I don't get too fat and out of shape, stay in range. And then, back to good prep, maybe 12 or so weeks before the Olympia. So.
Okay. So you got a little bit of time. What, you know, you're obviously not going to go too crazy, but what are you enjoying right now that you've, you know, it's Monday, it's been a couple days, I'm sure you're rehydrated. What are the first foods that you've had on your mind?
Well, backstage, they had a little, I don't know if you saw it, they had a little area that they had bringing, they had sliders, they had pizza, they had cookies.
Yes, they don't have that at my state level show, by the way.
So, you know, as I saw the strongman warming up, I figured it would be a good time to, indulge is our last little confirmation round before we came out for the awards. So I got a little pizza down, and I got some sliders down, and some cookies. So I was like, okay, this is good. But then I got back to the room, and we had some friends from Hawaii that live where I'm from now. But they brought some snacks for me, like all of my little old school little Debbie style treats.
And, oh, nice.
And then I'm a fruit snack guy, so they had some fruit snacks for me. So I enjoy those
fruit really snacks. Good. And then, fruit snacks, like yeah. the ones you get in your lunches when you're a kid, but your mom would get you.
Oh right? yeah, man. I go through a family pack by myself, man. That's just like my thing. So yeah, and then of course we did the we went by a Cracker Barrel on the way home. We had the pancakes.
Oh man,
that was great. I had some pancakes, protein pancakes this morning.
Okay.
As well, so yeah, I've been eating a little bit, but I did go to the gym and get some cardio and do a little quads today just to make sure I'm you know not overloading myself too much with glycogen. So get to work a little bit, but I didn't train too hard. Just got a nice little pump, felt the fullness that's going in, and trying to put some more fluid in me a little bit. So
man, I imagine after all those fruit snacks and sliders, you had a hell of a pump. You probably didn't have to do much to get it.
I barely did anything, man. It's like, man, I stood up. I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah. Nice, man. That's awesome. It's got to be great to see your family. I saw the picture of all you guys together, your entire family on stage, and a couple of your sons doing a front double bicep pose. That was really cool to see. It had to be awesome, man, to be reunited with them too.
Oh yeah, man, it was great, man. It's actually the first bodybuilding show they all got to see me in.
You're kidding?
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's first one. So
wow.
they were like overwhelmed with this impression of, especially at the Arnold Classic. So many people at the expo. So many people at the show. So. I have one son, the one that had the glasses on in the picture.
Yeah, he's adorable, by the way.
Yeah, he doesn't even wear glasses, but he likes, that's his style that he likes.
he's a bodybuilding nerd in the making, maybe.
Right. So he just thinks they're cool, so he wears them. And, yeah. That's why they're a little big on his face.
Yeah.
But he's like the most attentive to the bodybuilding. Like, so he's analyzing everything, and he's watching everything, and he's impressed by everybody. He actually wanted to meet Sean Roden. He wanted to meet Mr. Olympia.
Oh, no kidding.
At the meet and greet. Yeah, no at the kidding. Meet and greet. And Flexitron, or Sean Roden.
Yeah.
He couldn't say Sean Roden for some reason, but he got a video of my son saying, Flexitron is his favorite bodybuilder.
That's so cool, man. How old is he?
Well, he's like 7 years old. So
okay, so how long are you going to make him wait before you get him in the gym?
Well, actually, he's actually my son, and he actually enjoys training. Like I think he likes to get in the pump. So he'll do push ups, he'll do sit ups, he'll do his little workout. So
no kidding.
I had him outside. Before I left for oxygen prep.
Okay.
This last prep, but I had him outside with his brother. And I had him squatting with like a bamboo bar, and I had him doing like a little circuit. They were doing rows, and they were doing like, you know, push-ups and, you know, pull-up bar. And they did a little circuit, and his brother wanted to go in and play video games, his older brother.
Yeah.
But he was out there enjoying it. He was ready to keep going and keep going and keep going. So he enjoys the pump. And my wife also said he has his body is probably most like mine.
No kidding. So what you're telling me is I'm going to be wanting to do an interview with him in another 20, 15 years, something like that, huh?
I mean, maybe. I'm not pushing him into it or anything, but I see that he enjoys it. I mean, he's actually not my most muscular.
Okay.
Son, my oldest boy is probably my most muscular, but this kid, actually, I've seen him respond to training. So his brother, he's very responsive to training. His body just pumps up. And he likes it, you know.
Yeah.
But his older brother, he's just an athlete. He's just muscular for no reason. He came out muscular.
You had the Curry genetics.
You're right. Yeah. He came out that way. But my middle son, like I said, he has my structure. He likes training, and he's pretty responsive. He's when he started doing his push-ups, you see his chest develop. Like really, it was like, what? He's got pecs now. This is crazy. Yeah.
He's gonna be one of those kids you see with like the abs, and they well, you that this is you. That's exactly you told me in our last interview. You were like 8 years old at a birthday party swimming, and everybody was like, oh my god, he's got a six pack.
Yeah, I was probably younger than that, but yeah, I had a six pack. Well, he has a six pack too.
Oh, there we go.
A six pack, yeah. It's a couple shots of my wife's Instagram of him actually with the muscles exposed. So if you go check that out,
I gotta go see that. Yeah,
yeah, he's hilarious. His name is Marvelous, so it's gonna be interesting. Whatever comes of him.
that's so cool, man. What did he think of seeing you on stage?
Oh man, just all of them thought it was crazy. They didn't realize, you know, you kind of keep them sheltered from the sport a little bit because, you know, it's a lot of travel. It's a lot, pretty intense, and we like them to be involved in their own little activities and sports in the world. So they knew what their dad does, but they didn't know the extent.
Okay.
To what I do it. So seeing it for the first time, I think they were all kind of amazed. Like I think one of my sons, he's going on stage. He's like, why are my legs shaky right now? And my wife is like, oh, it's because you're nervous. You're about to go on stage. She's like, oh,
that's
I never
great.
Felt this before.
Wow.
It was hilarious.
That is so cool, man. All right, guys, stay tuned in just a minute. Brandon's going to tell us about carving up on cheeseburgers, plus, obviously, a whole lot more. Let's listen to this message from True Nutrition. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows. What did you use now for your carb up? Did you guys use the foods that you've been using all through the prep, or did Abdullah throw anything different into the mix?
Yeah, we basically stuck with most of the foods from our prep. So that's basically, you know, rice and potatoes for the most part. I think at the end we did throw, the night before, we did throw in something sweet along with steak. So we had, I had a couple brownies and some cookies and whatnot, just with the steak and potato that we had at night.
Okay.
Before we started to get the, you know, get the water pooled. So you made sure I was primarily, you know, I was really full before I went to bed and would have to catch up when I got up that morning. So,
okay.
And we typically throw a burger in here and there.
Okay.
Either show day or right, you know, night before. So I think I had a couple of burgers show day.
Hell yeah.
Fried.
Hell so, yeah.
That typically works for me. It's no secret. It's pretty much something that we're consistent. We can consistently use and expect the same result. So,
is that what you use during, say, like a carb up, while you're, you know, when you need to do a refeed or something during the diet?
Yeah, typically on a refeed during a diet, we're hitting double burgers and fries and maybe a Coke or a Sprite or something, apple pies and stuff like that.
Okay.
Make like a McDonald's, a big McDonald's meal or something. So
you know VJ's going to love to hear that.
Yeah, we do McDonald's. We do all kind of burger places. It depends on where we want to go and, you know, how quick I want to eat. So.
right. That makes total sense. I've been there, man. It's like I would like to get, you know, a different burger from another place, but it might take me 30 extra minutes. So. McDonald's,
right.
It is.
Exactly, and McDonald's in Kuwait is actually even like more high quality than the U.S. So it's
no
actually,
kidding.
Yeah, they have I guess different meat standards there. So
I'll have to go check out Kuwait just to see the burgers at some point. That sounds good.
Yeah, man, I was impressed. I was impressed when I went to McDonald's in Kuwait. I was like, wow, this is crazy. This meat is like, it's like really, really good. It's like a really good McDonald's. I was like, wow.
That's badass, man. So I know you traveled out on Monday, it was, right?
Yeah, Monday.
Okay. And when did you guys actually start the carb up?
Oh, man, we didn't start the carb up till, I think we started a little bit like midday Wednesday.
Okay.
So we didn't really push it like too early. I thought we were, but then he was like, no, you're looking too full already. Mm. He's like, because we didn't really deplete, because he didn't like to deplete me. He says, because once he depletes me, it's too much work to keep me, fill me back out. So
we never really
deplete, you know, if any depletion happens, it's just happening from the extra calories expended. Or just me being on the consistent calorie diet without any refeed. So that'll be a natural kind of slight depletion process, I guess you would say.
Interesting. So you never really got too flat through this prep is what you're telling me.
Oh, no. He doesn't like me to get flat. That's he's like, nope. If I'm looking flat, then he's like, yep, it's time to eat. So
that's badass. He doesn't
want me to eat at all, no. So, yeah, he's totally against that.
How about water manipulation? Do you guys do any kind of a load or anything like that? See, you know, listening to the shows here, that these are questions that we are always talking about. But now I get to pick the brain of one of the best in the world. So forgive me, you know, I'm nerding out here with this stuff. But this is fascinating stuff to me.
Well, you know, typically, I was drinking like normal amounts when I got there.
Okay,
he wanted me to drink a little bit more as I adjusted from getting there. But I found out once it was a 14-hour flight from Kuwait to the U.S.
Wow.
And then we had supposed to be a 3-hour layover. We ended up having a 5-hour layover in New York before going to Columbus. So that extended the time. But about time I got to Columbus and I weighed myself, I think I was the same weight as I was the night before.
Okay.
And then when I woke up, I was the same weight the morning I left Kuwait. So that meant I didn't really hold any water from the trip.
No kidding.
Good. Huh. Yeah, which was good. So it was like, and I don't think I really drunk too much on the flight or worried about hydration too much.
Okay.
But I just think it just, the kind of flight just kept me. I proved pretty dry when I fly, honestly.
Hmm.
And you know, and it's like, I know Dexter Jackson spoke of getting drier as he flies, and sometimes I feel like flying does dehydrate me quite a bit. So I didn't really gain any fluid. So I just drunk normal the next day for the most part. He wanted me to kind of get a little bit more fluid in. I guess the day before he wanted to drop my water.
Okay.
So basically, I think it was. We started really, really kind of putting the load in on Thursday. As you're loading, naturally, you typically drink less.
Hmm.
So I was only really drinking with meals.
Okay.
And I was just drinking naturally with meals. And by Friday, he just wanted me to, you know, just kind of limit my volume to, like, I think it was like 250 meals per meal.
Okay.
So basically what I did was, I just ate my meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
and then I just poured a little water in the cup and started drinking it. So it was kind of like we slowly tapered it, I guess, kind of Thursday and Friday, just by feel.
Yeah.
So I only drank what I needed to digest my food pretty much.
Yeah.
And then by, you know, Saturday, I really didn't drink much, you know, only just to get some food down if I needed to, and then in between prejudging and the finals, of course, I had maybe like a Coke or something to kind of, you know, rehydrate as I was putting some more carbohydrates in, to make sure they went to the right place. Because that's the thing about water. I want to have enough water to where I feel like I'm able to digest the carbs in my GI.
Mm, yeah.
Because if I feel like my digestion is slowed down too much, then I feel like, okay, I maybe need some water. to get this stuff moving, because if I feel it in my gut too long, I'm like, it's not moving. And that's the last thing I wanted, place I wanted to stay. So that kind of, that's kind of the measures that we, that I use specifically when we're cutting water. So, it's specified, but it's also a little bit by feel, because the last thing is, if I'm waiting too long in between a meal and I'm not getting hungry, it's probably because the water, the food is moving too slow.
Okay.
My digestive system, because of the lack of hydration. So that's when I'll drink a little bit more, and instantly you'll feel comfortable again, and you'll get hungry again, and then it's time for another meal. So
that's huge. That's how man.
That's how you play. I play it anyway, because my stomach is pretty. I have a, you know, I can. My stomach's not really hard to shake up, but I have a, I guess, a very good sense of what's going on in my stomach, as far as how bloated I'm feeling, how, you know, how my midsection's feeling. So,
man, and it definitely, it worked for you. I was just actually going to ask you what you meant by that digestion slowed, but that makes total sense. And it is, you know, we always say on these programs that you have to listen to your body. That's the exact thing that we're talking about right there, man. That's so cool.
Yeah, and another thing, if I'm not doing number two, because I'm a regular bathroom, I use a bathroom regularly. Like, I could probably go after every meal in normal conditions. Okay. So if I'm not going to the bathroom, then that's another thing to let me know that I'm probably limiting the water a little bit too much, because it's normal for me to go to the bathroom. So if I'm ever constipated in that way, I'm not going to the bathroom, then my water's, I definitely need to drink a little bit more water.
Well, yeah. Do you guys do anything with sodium manipulation at all, or do you guys just leave that? I'm going to guess you're just leaving it. It sounds like, at least.
No. I season everything normally to taste, so I'm not worried about, lowering sodium intake. If anything, I'll put some more sodium in when I pull some water.
Okay. That's awesome, man. So, you got some photo shoots coming up, right? I believe. Are you doing something with muscular development here?
Yeah, Steve is on me about getting a shoot with the MD, so I can get a cover. He's really adamant about this cover talk now. So,
oh, no kidding, man.
I'm happy to oblige, so we got to get it worked out with the photographer here in my area that works with MD. I think Hector, you may know Hector Mendoza, so I think he's supposed to shoot this one. So.
No kidding. Now, how does that work? Will you be going to him? Is he coming to you?
Well, Hector actually lives in this area, so he'll be probably coming down to where I am. He's familiar with the gym. I mean, we've known each other for a while now, so even before he was actually shooting photography. So,
no kidding. How long does a photo shoot take with him? Because I've heard a lot of variation depending on who the photographer is. Some guys take all day. Some guys will knock it out in an hour or so.
Well, you know, I've seen Hector shoot, but I've never shot with Hector personally yet. So I don't really know. I don't really know his time frame.
Okay.
I know Kevin. People like Kevin Horton are really fast. Perry Brunell, you know, he kind of takes his time and analyzes every photo that you go. And even like people like Chris Lund. I remember Chris Lund was pretty fast as well. So, you know, it just depends on the style of photography, how much equipment they like to use, how much the, you know, on site editing that they like to do. You know, it's all about that.
That makes total sense. I have an old old issue of MD. It has to be from back in 2009, 2010 era, with a bunch of your pictures. I'll have to send them over to you. You'll know which one it is, I'm sure. So I know you've done a lot of photo shoots over the years. What's been one of your longer photo shoots? How long has that taken?
Oh, one of my first photo shoots, I think it was with Pear.
Okay.
It had to be like a couple hours, and then the same day I shot with Kevin Horton, and it was about maybe half an hour.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it was the difference between, you know, taking a photo and then looking at it on your screen and trying to figure out, okay, what we're going to do with the lighting, what adjustments we're going to make, this and that, to a guy being a lot simpler than that and just having a camera and just firing until you think you got enough shots. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, it was flexing MD that same day. So just two different styles. I mean, I like both a photographer's work. So and their styles are uniquely different. So I'm willing to do whatever it requires for them to get the best content.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
not a diva. I'm not a diva in that way. Just make me look good.
No, I wouldn't have thought so, man. Out of everybody that was at the show, who else stood out to you?
Who else stood out? Well, I think Luke, man. I was really impressed with the package and improvements that Luke made.
He looks so good, didn't he?
Yeah, I was able to let him know that. And Rafael Brando, I wanted to encourage him because, you know, he's going to be, he's the future in the sport.
Dude.
He's going to do some big things. So,
dude, Rafael, his legs, man, were incredible.
Yeah.
He had lines from top to bottom, like lines like I haven't seen. I think that he actually had, instead of like four muscles in his quad, he might have had like five or six just based off all of those lines.
Man. It's funny, man. It's funny how they fan like that. It's very different. It's very unique, man. So it's genetic, definitely just a genetic trait that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, man. And like I said, he's a very cool guy. You know, he's learning a lot, and man, he really loves the bodybuilding, and he really loves getting better. So, shout out to Brazil, for the athletes and the way the sport is growing there. I've seen it over the years, just from being there in 2013 to going there last year. And man, the sport is really, really maturing there. So when you got bodybuilders like him coming up and representing Brazil, they're going crazy for the sport.
No kidding.
He's a very young guy. He's a very young guy, you know.
That's where you won your first Arnold, right? Was in Brazil.
Yeah, 2013, yeah.
Man, so
it was nuts, bro. It was nuts, man. the fans are nuts there. It was wonderful.
Really, really.
Yeah, man. It was intense. That is Latin love, man. They're intense, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you go to a soccer game in Brazil, it's not like a soccer game you can see in the U.S. You know, they're chanting, they're up the whole time.
Oh,
the energy's
no
there. It's crazy, bro. They have security. Security that line the whole field. Guys with like freaking guns, rifles, and they have to escort the referees off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
They have people blocking the stands, so you can't come down. I mean, because it'll be melee on the field if they didn't have that precautions.
I could see that. Yeah, they're a passionate people. It makes total sense to me. And so that translated too into the audience that came to see you is what it sounds like.
Right. Exactly, man. Exactly. It's like when I guest pose there, it's like, man, it's live, bro. It's live.
Wow.
You know. And even to this day, the Brazilian fans hit me up going crazy about the win and and sending me videos, speaking in English or sometimes Portuguese. It's pretty cool.
That's badass, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever been over to India? I hear they're really crazy over there too.
Yeah, I know they are, but the last time I got invited to go, their visa system was not quite where we needed it to be, because I tried to get a visa on arrival, which was a service that they offered. And apparently I found out they didn't offer it. And then they rejected my normal visa application because they questioned my passport photo. Ah. So,
oh, really?
So I was scheduled to go and ended up not being able to go. So.
They looked at the picture and they're like, this guy looks too jacked. This can't be him.
I don't know what it was. Something was in question about my passport photo. I was like, really? Oh, well, I guess it's not meant to be. But I'm... I know India's crazy for bodybuilding. I had a roommate from India here recently, and he speaks about it all the time. So I can't wait to go, man. I know it's going to be nuts.
That'll be cool. So I take it now, having won Arnold Classic Columbus, I imagine that new opportunities are probably going to open up. Will you be able to do some work between now and the Olympia? Like, will you be able to do guest posings and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, that schedule's actually changing as we speak.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get some of my schedule adjusted and make sure I'm not double booking anyone.
Oh, yeah, like yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I stay in contact with promoters here and there, but, it seems like right after the shows, people hit me up questioning me either for this year or next year. So, yeah, man, it's a part of it. When you're hot, you're hot, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that in you, that you're taking advantage of everything that you can. Part of that probably has to be that you've been around a while, and I know that, with your attitude, you really appreciate what you've got. I think that's part of what makes you a really cool winner, too, is that, you've realized the amount of work that it's going to take to do this, and you've put it in, and you've been successful. I can see that, man, based off of the previous interview we did. I could tell that you were really appreciative. Really appreciative of the sport, and really appreciative what you've gotten from it. I think that that's one of the things people really connected to in that previous show.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely a blessing to do something that you just really enjoy doing and you love, and actually, you know, have it actually support your life. So I don't take the people that love our sport for our sport. I don't take it for granted, man. And I try, like I said, it's been hard, but I've been trying to get back to everybody in my inbox.
Wow.
I haven't even got to my alternate inbox with people that actually don't have it coming on. So I haven't even been able to get to that one yet, but I've tried to catch up in my regular inbox, making sure I acknowledge most of the fans' comments or whatever it may be. Cause, you know, I realize that, you know, it's because of these guys that support me that I'm able to do what I'm able to do. And as long as I can be a good ambassador for the sport, you know, I think we can keep growing and, you know, change some of the impressions of some of the bodybuilders that were before us have maybe laid unintentionally. So I've been able to do that and communicate that with some particular people, some people and some promoters that didn't like bodybuilding. So I'm continually making sure that that's an important part of who I am and, you know, what I can actually contribute to the sport.
I don't know about everybody else listening right now, but I feel like that's a Mr. Olympia quality right there. That's all I'm going to say.
I hope so, because, you know, it's a labor of love. You know, it's definitely not easy, but, you know, I just got to stay on top of it. And, like I said, it's important to me. It's important to me to, you know, invest the time that's needed to, you know, to make sure these people know, you know, I definitely care about the sport. I care about, you know, representing well, and, you know, and it's because of the fans and it's because of the following that, you know, we can do what we do. I mean, it's a big deal now, especially with the social media world. So it's not just guys sending you letters anymore.
Oh, yeah.
you know, it's every day, all day, people trying to reach out and express how much they are motivated by you, appreciated by you, maybe even pissed off by you. But
really? Whatever. I couldn't imagine that, unless you beat their guy.
Yeah, well, you know, people make dummy accounts, you know, when they're mad.
Yeah.
And you find a lot of them. You find out the accounts are not really real, but they tend to express their opinions and antagonize you through these accounts. So I still try to be nice to them because I realize that if they have to hide from their identity from me to express their feelings, that it's a bigger issue than I can necessarily solve.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I think it's awesome that you are getting back to people. I think that means so much. I know to me as a fan of the sport, when I reach out to anybody, because it's something, like you said, we can do that now. It used to be that you couldn't reach out and talk to anybody at the high-end bodybuilding. Now you can just drop them a private message. It really does make me feel good. It makes my day. And I think that that's a big part of what's cool about our sport, that we can, you know, talk to these people, that even if I just know that Brandon Curry liked my message I sent him, I know he saw it, and it makes my life better, you know, by seeing that. So I think it's really cool, man, that you can, you know, you could take the time to do all that. Cause I know that that's gotta be a lot of work. That's kind of like a part-time job in itself, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, a simple emoji, man, can make somebody's day.
Yeah.
Let's just let them know that, you know, I appreciate you messaging me. I see it, you know, and, you know, I just think, you know, even if it was me in the other position, I think that would be so cool. So I'd rather, you know, pay that forward or return that, because I would expect that I would enjoy that myself if I was following someone as well.
Oh, yeah. So if I type in Brandon Curry, Sean Roden, I get a bunch of videos and pictures comparing you to Sean now. And I think
I've seen that mute muscle one today.
Okay.
And I thought that was really good because they compared, I guess, my recent appearance to his last Olympia appearance, of course.
Yeah.
And I like that video, the mute muscle. So if you haven't seen that, people, I guess the mute muscle, go check him out. It's a very good comparison.
Nice. I don't think I saw that one. I'll have to check it out for sure.
It's pretty new.
But I think that's the question. You know, that's the big question now, is, can Brandon Curry beat Sean Roden at the Olympia? I don't want to make this a controversial show and ask you, you know, a bunch of questions to just get hits here, but I do want to know your thoughts. If we look at this objectively, one bodybuilder to the next, you know, obviously you want to see yourself winning. Where would you beat him?
Well, I looked at it and I saw that video today, and it helped me a lot in looking at that, because I believe I can. And it definitely showed how I guess much of an advantage I have from my back shots now.
Yeah.
And you know, and just the similarities as well. So how we have a, you know, similar strengths as well when it comes to the flow of the physique.
Absolutely.
The guy was commentating on how, you know, the strength of some of the shots from the front, as far as, you know, the fullness of the biceps and the shoulders and whatnot, and both the streamlined waist. And you know, just saying, if I could just make these gradual improvements, still from the front to the quads, and keep some deep separation in there, then I could make a game over by the Olympia. So
yeah,
that's going to be the main factor, man. I mean, that's going to be the as long as the conditioning I bring is similar to the Arnold, if not even better, then I think we can definitely edge him out, especially with the strength of my density of my upper body in a lot of the shots. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I really am looking forward to it. I know I have the tools to do it, and it's just a matter of I guess you say executing.
Yeah,
what we need to do from now to the Olympia.
Yeah, I do see a lot of similarities too, and I do see a lot more strength through your upper body, through your arms, your shoulders, in your chest, just the whole shoulder girdle region, you know, all of that to me looks like it is denser. But there's no question that if you are going to do this, you're probably going to have to work harder than you did for the Olympia. Focus more. Are you feeling that vibe now at this point, knowing that you're going to really buckle down to vie for the best in the world?
Well, I see the advantages is I have those windows of improvements to make. I'm the younger body, and I'm steadily still maturing as far as muscle maturity is concerned. And when I look at what he has to work with, you know, he's a little bit older, more mature. I don't think his body is necessarily improving. I think he's able to bring a nice package in. I don't know if he'd be able to duplicate the package that he brought to Olympia last year. I think that'll even be a hard thing for him to do as far as condition is concerned.
With all respect to him, he hasn't proven to be the most consistent.
Exactly. And like I said, I don't know about him. I think he's been better as far as overall size and quality. I actually think he's been better than he was last year.
Okay.
In previous years. So I don't think he's actually getting better. And we've seen the best Sean Roden win the Olympia last year. So that's in my advantage. I feel I still have room to improve. I think I can make those improvements and outshine him by September. So that's what I'm doing. And I have all respect for Sean as a warrior, as a man. You know, we're friends, and he has the best sense of humor, man. He's a
Does he?
And we've worked together over the years, so it's no hard feelings. But as a competitor, as an athlete, you know, I just see it for what I see it, and no disrespect to him.
Absolutely,
he's an Olympia champion, and I'm just trying to walk in those shoes. So
hell yeah, man. And you mentioned mentioned age. So he is 42, I believe. You're what, 36?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're in your prime right now. Some people would say you just hit your prime when you get into your 30s, and I would say that's probably true for you. We've just now seen the best Brandon Curry to date, and that's just been getting better since last season. There's no reason in my mind to think that you can't even keep going further from here.
Right. I mean, it's just like that muscle maturity thing is taking over, because, you know, we came in this show lighter than the actual Olympia.
No kidding.
You know, just for conditioning purposes. Yeah, we came in this show lighter, and it was on purposes and definitely intentional. But with the muscle maturity and the density that I've been able to, you know, keep, yeah, no one can see it that way.
You know what I like? I feel like Abdullah is enough removed from the politics of bodybuilding. I feel like he's enough removed that he's not going to try to play the size game. You know, that's the thing that guys always do for the Olympia. I feel like they always try to push to play thinking that you need to fit the particular mold of this particular show. But I have a feeling in my heart that he's the kind of guy who's just going to want to bring the best Brandon Curry he can bring.
Well, you know, he knows the truth. And believe it or not, he talks to a lot of athletes that are on a high level. I mean, he's communicated with a lot of athletes, and they tell him the truth about what they weigh. You know, we know what a Rolly Winkler weighs on stage. We know those things, and some of the numbers that you know you see as fans are not realistic. So
really,
being that we know behind the scenes and we know the reality of the matter, we know exactly what we can bring and still be respected on stage and still hold that size and be able to compete with the guys. So, I mean, coming into the Olympia last year, of course, I was bigger, and seeing myself on stage with a lot of those guys, you know, I was like, man, well, it's not that much difference, you know? And then when you really understand what the contest stage weights are, then you say, okay, I understand now. So we're just going to let this physique carry me, my structure carry me, and this muscle maturity keep improving. And I think I'll be able to stand with anybody on stage as long as the conditioning is on point.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. I can't wait to see what you do too. And what you put together between now and then. Let me know, remind me, what's your YouTube? Because I know that you've been doing a lot there. I'm sure that you're probably going to be putting out a lot more stuff, especially as we start rolling into the Olympia. I know that everybody at home wants to follow along.
Yeah, it's Brandon Curry All Access, and now that I'm not in Kuwait, I think I'm gonna be able to probably do some more intimate things as far as explaining the methods to the madness,
nice.
What I find working, more instructional, not just purely training, because you know, when you look good and you're going into prep, you know, people want to see that.
Yeah.
But now that I'm home, I'm able to not just focus on just gear, you know, my geared up training into the show, I'll be able to kind of give them a concept and kind of share some information with some people, with the fans, and kind of guide them a little bit more. Because I found in the past when I've done that, fans have really enjoyed it. So I'm going to get back to that as I'm at home, my home base, and I have my wife filming and just explaining some of the methods to the madness, some of the things that I found successful and have actually helped me improve over the course of these past few years.
I love that, man. That is so cool. I think that the fans are definitely going to love that stuff too. I can tell you that you won a lot of people over with the interview we did previously, that there were a lot of people that reached out to me and said, he's just such a cool, down to earth guy. And I think that without having heard you speak, maybe they just assumed that you were, you know, a top end bodybuilder that wasn't going to take the time to appreciate the fans the way that you do. So I think that you've got a lot more people that are appreciating where you're coming from. I just feel the energy growing for you. And listen, I mean, I do media. I don't know if I'm supposed to remain objective, but I would love to see you win this thing personally. This would be fucking amazing.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, it's guys like you and some other guys. You know, I know you met Giles this weekend. And, you know,
oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's been a great support. I met him like years ago through Neil, but he's been a great support, man. And like I say, I love you guys because you're so passionate about the sport. You know, you're all about the positivity of the sport, and it's good to see. You know, because I have relationships with all different kind of media types. But you know, it's different. It's a different agenda for everybody. So, you know, some people are pretty biased, and some people are paid to be biased. but when you got these, you know, guys that are pure fans of the sport and they're able to, you know, work in these outlets, you can see it, man. It's just so cool. It's so cool to see the passion and the realness and just the love for the sport. So, man, I appreciate you guys, and I'll come on here anytime and share my thoughts and my experiences with you guys anytime you like, man.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and you know what I get out of that? You like that because that's a quality that exists in yourself, and that's why we like you, man. So I really appreciate your time here, Brandon. I can't, like I said, man, all I'm willing to say is I'm going to be rooting for you, and I look forward to keep following along. Once again, what's your Instagram?
It's Brandon _Curry.
All right, cool. Guys, and all this stuff will be in the show notes. Brandon, I hope that you enjoy a few more good meals, and I'm going to be looking forward to seeing these the new videos that you're going to be putting out.
Yeah, we got, like I said, we're gonna settle in, and then we're gonna get these things going, because I'm in the gym, and I'm doing instructionals. I'm trying to show people, because I want people to be smart, you know, in the gym. Yeah. And sometimes we as bodybuilders, we only get one side of the coin. And guys like Dexter Jackson, they have a lot to teach and share about the longevity and how to do things in a way that, you know, is smart, you know, and there's a lot of smart ways to do things. It's not always about, you know, lifting ridiculous poundages and just putting stress on your body. Sometimes you got to go at it at a smarter way, and you got to try different things, and the basics are always there, and that's how we create the foundations that we create. But sometimes you need some out of the box thinking to advance beyond you know, where you may have if you would have just stayed in that box. So that's one of the things I've learned over the years. And I see you've learned it as well with the glute training that you've been doing lately.
You saw that, huh?
Yeah, man. I mean, I know Skip's giving you a hard time about it, but it's important, man. It's important, man. You can't ignore certain things, you know, just out of the ego. So it's important to be a bodybuilder. So just being humble enough to say, okay, I'm gonna buckle down and do this just to improve is a testament to the things that you've learned.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate your time, and thank you for making the Arnold Classic so freaking great this year.
You put that on me, man.
Yeah, man. You did. I went in wanting you to win, and it happened. So I'm happy.
Well, I'm happy too, man. And man, I appreciate it. And like I say, man, coming into the Olympia, man, it's gonna be fun.
All right, guys, for another episode of Advices Radio with Arnold Classic winner, Brandon Curry. I'm Scott McNally. We will see you soon. Thanks, Brandon.
No problem, brother.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Advices Radio, part of the Advices Radio Network. Stay tuned for a whole lot more. We are just getting started. We'll be right back.